unbelievable powers that are able to thwart the threat that this villain poses to the world. And yet, as we get to know that superhero, or perhaps our own superhero that we like, they all have a weakness, don't they? You think of Superman. He was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, even able to stop bullets. And yet he had his weakness, didn't he? Kryptonite. And it's really that weakness that we sort of looked forward to. We knew it was there. We looked forward to the superhero being able to show this great power, and yet we knew he was vulnerable. And so as we watch the movie, we kind of wonder, how is the villain going to use that vulnerability, that weakness, in order to try to bring down the superhero? I suppose if it were in real life, while we may enjoy the superhero having that weakness, in real life, we'd probably prefer that a superhero had no weakness, especially if it was our life that he was about to save. We'd prefer, if it were real life, that our superhero would be that unstoppable good, that unstoppable, they would have those powers that they would use for good, and wouldn't have a weakness that could be exploited so that we could rely on them. Regardless of the situation or the villain we find ourselves against. The Bible describes how you and I have an enemy. Not a physical enemy, but a spiritual one. A spiritual enemy that lives inside each one of us and seeks to, by its temptations, lead us away from our God. The Bible describes how each of us have a spiritual enemy, an enemy that prowls around like a hungry lion, just looking for someone to devour. You and I have a spiritual enemy that not only lives inside of us, but a spiritual enemy in the devil that is looking to devour us. And as we look at that sinful flesh we're born with that lives in us, and we look outside of us and see that devil, we look at the world in which we live, it would seem as though those spiritual enemies form an indomitable enemy. They form a spiritual enemy in whose face we are so often weak. We don't like to hear that. As Americans, we don't like to think of ourselves as weak. We'd much rather have in our minds that picture of being able to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, to be able to address whatever threats may come for us. And yet, as we look at the nature of those spiritual enemies that we face, the Bible describes just how weak we are. It says we're spiritually helpless, unable to do anything. The Bible describes how every time we gossip, every time we say something about someone else, even when it's true, but in doing so drag their mud through the name, or put them down in front of someone else, those spiritual enemies win. And we sin. It means every time we look at someone, or part of someone and have those lustful thoughts that are there even for just a moment, our spiritual enemies have won and we have sinned. It means every time, well, we don't show love, a perfect love for our spouse, or in anger lash out at our children, or fail to show patience with our co-workers, our spiritual enemies win. And we sin. You see, God, in describing our sinful nature and the temptations we face, doesn't just say, you sin when you break my commands and do things that are unloving. He also says, when you don't do those things, you also sin. That sinful enemy inside of us, that sinful enemy and the devil outside of us, as they both work together to lead us away from God, do a fine job of showing us just how helpless we are. And that sin that is a part of each one of our lives, that our conscience reminds us is a part of each one of our lives, drives home to us the fact that not only are we sinful, but it's that sin that God condemns. So you and I find ourselves as that helpless victim. A victim to our own sinfulness. We find ourselves dead, unable to do anything to help our situation, and completely separated from God, the only one who can do anything. And our triune God sees our predicament and enacts a plan to save us. In love, God the Father sends a Savior. In love, God the Father sends one who would come to save all people from their sin. In love, God the Father sends His only Son to save you and me from our sin. In love, God the Son does just that. Out of love for each one of us, God the Son set aside the power and authority and glory that were His as the Son of God, where He sat at God the Father's right hand. He put all of that aside for a time so that He could take on human flesh just like you and me. He took on human flesh so that He could be just like the creatures He created. In love, God the Son came to be our substitute, to do perfectly all the things you and I aren't able to do, to love God, to love our neighbor perfectly. In love, then, Jesus became what we were, sinful. He took all of our sins and put them on Himself so that He could make us what we weren't. Perfect. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, puts it this way. He said, God made Him who had no sin. God made His Son who was without sin to be sin for us, in our place, as our substitute. So that you and I could become the righteousness of God, so that you and I could be perfect in God's eyes. In love, God the Holy Spirit then in time came through word and sacrament and created a faith in our hearts that was able to see this wonderful thing our God had done for us. Through word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit convinced us of this, now continues to strengthen that faith through word and sacrament. Our triune God, all three persons, was active in saving us from our sin. Now, that triune God who saves us gives us a mission. He gives us a task, and it started with those group of disciples shortly after he rose from the dead. Jesus, shortly before he ascended into heaven, tells his disciples, go and make disciples, make followers of Jesus. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In other words, as a follower of Christ, as one who knows intimately what your triune God has done for you, share that good news with others. And as you and I proclaim God's word, as you and I share with others this good news of what our triune God has done, God promises that his word won't return to him empty. God promises that the Holy Spirit will work through that word, through our witness, to make followers of Christ. As you and I go with this good news, he gives us two things to make those followers of Christ. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. First, baptizing them. Baptizing them in the name of the triune God that has saved them. We talked just a few moments ago with the children up in front here that when water is applied to a person in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, St. Peter tells us that baptism saves us. It washes away our sin. God promises that he gives to that person when they're baptized the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that creates a saving faith in their heart. God tells us that when we are baptized, he puts his name on us. That triune God says, this person is now mine. They are a member of my family and an heir of all that is mine. Go and make disciples, make followers of Jesus in all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and also by teaching them. Baptism isn't this magical thing that once we're baptized, we're good. No, Jesus says baptize, but then also teach them. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. That it isn't just good enough to say, okay, I've been baptized. I know my sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God. But God wants us to continue to grow. St. Peter, at the end of his second letter, says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter and other of the disciples describe our Christian faith as saying, when you come to faith, you're like an infant. That we are to continue to feed and nourish that faith so it continues to grow and mature. It means, as children of God, we continue to feed our own faith. As we read and study God's Word and the Holy Spirit teaches us those truths. It means at home with our spouse, with our families, we teach them to know and understand the truths and promises God has given us. It means in our neighborhood, as we interact with our neighbors, we lend a willing ear and some encouragement from God's Word. It means at work, as we interact with our co-workers, what we say and what we do reflects a living love for God and provides a witness that might perhaps lead to those conversations that say, why do you say and act that way? It means living in a world in such a way that lets our light shine. At first glance, looking at that mission that our triune God gives us might be a bit overwhelming. And if left to ourselves, we'd certainly fail. But God also gives us two promises. Right before the mission that He gives us, He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, because He is the triune God, and Jesus Himself, who is speaking as part of that triune God, says, as I give you this mission to go and make disciples by baptizing and by teaching, know that you have the full power and authority of God behind you. The God whom we heard in our first lesson that created all things simply by speaking is there with you. It means there isn't a single thing you and I need to fear or be afraid of, because all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And that full power and authority of the triune God stands behind us as we carry out that mission. Then, to further comfort and encourage His disciples, Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Regardless of the situation we find ourselves in, regardless of where we seek to carry out this important mission that our Savior has given to us, He promises that He will never leave us or forsake us, but rather that He will always be with us, guarding, protecting, strengthening, and encouraging us as we share with others this good news of a triune God who saves us. Growing up, the only two superheroes that I remember really watching on TV were the old Batman and watching Christopher Reeves as Superman. Now I watch what my kids are watching on some of the cartoons on Netflix, and I can't even keep track of all the superheroes that they can have. Those superheroes don't just have one vulnerability, usually. They have an even bigger one. They aren't real. But you and I have a triune God who not only is real, but has promised to be with us, to guard and protect us through life. You and I have a triune God who has done everything in love in order to save us. As you hear and take that mission to heart that our triune God has given to us, be bold. Remember those promises our triune God has given to us, that all power and authority stand behind us, that He promises never to leave us or forsake us. And then boldly share the message He's given to us, that we have a triune God who has saved us. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.